This is the last message in the Back to the Future series. We're in the Summer in the Movies series all summer long. We're going to be talking about Summer in the Movies. So right now we're talking about Back to the Future, that movie. We're kind of using different analogies from that movie. In next week we're going to start The Bourne Identity. I want to encourage you to be here for that series, for that part of the Summer in the Movies series, The Bourne Identity. We're going to be talking about who you are in Christ. Amen? It's going to be good. So we're going to finish this one up, Back to the Future. In the third movie of the Back to the Future trilogy, Marty goes back in time to the year 1885 to rescue Doc Brown, who is stuck in that time period. Upon entry into that time period, the DeLorean springs a leak in the gas tank, and all of the gas leaks out of the car. Because gasoline hadn't been invented during that time or at that time yet, Marty is now stuck in that time period, 1885, with Doc Brown. Unless they can find the key to getting the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour, they will never get back to the future. They need to find the key component that will allow that car to get up to 88 miles per hour to that speed and release the power of the flux capacitor, which will propel them into the future. How many of you watched Back to the Future and any of the movies, right? So you know, they had to get up to 88 miles per hour in the DeLorean in order for the flux capacitor to release its power and propel them into the future, right? If they didn't get up to that speed, they couldn't do it. So they're stuck in this time period, and they're looking for the key component that's going to get them there. Many times in our lives, we are looking for the keys to unlock doors that will propel us into our future. And keys that unlock doors that have been locked that keep us from realizing our full capacity of our God-promised futures. Think about that. How many of us have been stuck in one place because we cannot find the key that unlocks the door that is in front of us that God wants us to walk through? Right? I know there are many people I've talked to, they said, well, I know God's promised me this in my future, but it just doesn't seem like I can get there. I feel stuck in this one place. And that's literally like there's a door in front of you that you can't get through. And I want you to know today that God has given you a key to unlock that door. I'm about to show it to you in a few minutes, but let me first read this scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verses 19. In this passage, Jesus makes a wonderful promise that every follower must know. If you don't know this, you need to know it. Here it is. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. We have the wrong scripture on the screen. I see it right now. That's a good one too. That's a really good one. But it's Matthew 16, verse 19. They'll pull that up in a minute. But listen to it again. Listen to it. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Come on, that's good stuff right there. He's promising to give us keys to unlock doors and to lock doors. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given the keys to heaven's kingdom realm. That's good news. That's good news. Look at somebody and say, that's good news. I needed to hear that today. Tell somebody that. I needed to hear that today. Now, what do keys do? What do they do? They unlock and they lock things, right? They lock and unlock things like doors. Keys lock and unlock doors. That means that we have been given keys or authority. How many of you here were last week or you watched it on live stream last week? If you were here last week and you watched or watched on live stream, we were talking about authority. We have been given authority or exousia power to forbid on earth or lock what is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth or unlock that which is released in heaven. That's the authority we've been given. I've got a set of keys right here. Okay, we usually don't use keys like these skeleton keys, but for an example, for an illustration, these are good keys. Jesus said, I'm giving you keys. Keys to heaven's kingdom realm. And with these keys, you're going to be able to lock doors, forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven. And you're going to be able to unlock doors, release on earth that which is released in heaven. He's saying you and I have this kind of power. The keys are in our hands. Many people are walking around like the keys are still in Jesus' hands. I'm not going to get into this right now, but I will in a moment. But I'm just going to say this. Why do we keep asking Jesus to unlock doors that he gave us keys to? I believe if we listen closely enough, Jesus will say, I gave you the keys. Why do you keep asking me for the keys? I gave them to you. You have the power. You have the authority. The keys are in your hand. Just use them. So we can lock or unlock, forbid or release. So let's look at what are things that are forbidden in heaven. There are many things that are forbidden in heaven. But just let me give you a few things that are forbidden in heaven, okay? Sin is forbidden in heaven. Sickness is forbidden in heaven. Poverty is forbidden. Fear, depression, confusion, doubt, worry, and many other things are forbidden in heaven, aren't they? How many of you know that in heaven there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain, there will be no more doubt, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more depression? You won't get your feelings hurt anymore in heaven. It's good news, isn't it? However, we don't have to wait for heaven for that to happen. Right? Did you hear the scripture? Matthew 16, verses 19. Do you have it? Put it back up there again. Do you have it? They do. Here it is. Look at it with me. Ready? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, or heaven's kingdom realm, to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Now, this is a different version on the screen. I'm reading the Passion Translation, but this is what it means. We've been given keys to forbid or release. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got these keys. So let's just look at one thing that's forbidden in heaven that we can forbid on earth. I can't go through them all, but I want to just explore one thing. That's forbidding sickness. Sickness is forbidden in heaven. Amen? How many believe that? There will be no more sickness in heaven. So if it's forbidden in heaven, we have the keys and the power to forbid it on earth. We've been given a key to lock the door. There is a door that the enemy has wide open here on earth. He wants it to stay wide open. He wants the door of sickness to continually be released on earth. Right? Where does sickness come from? The enemy. God does not bring sickness upon you. God does, come on, some of you need to hear that again. God does not bring sickness upon you. We say this a lot around here, but there are still people who believe that God brought sickness upon them. Or let's just say it this way, God allowed this to happen. Some people have said that. Well, God allowed me to get sick. Saying God allowed you to get sick would be saying that you allowed the next door neighbor to beat your child. So, let me just take it further. Saying that you allowed God to make you sick or to let you get sick is like saying that you, as a good father or a good mother, allowed the pedophile down the street to come down the street and take your child and kidnap them. I know, that's kind of rough, isn't it? Can I tell you that the enemy is worse than a pedophile? He wants to destroy you and everything that belongs to you. So the enemy has this door. And this door is wide open, this sickness door. And God has given us the key to lock, to forbid this on earth. It's forbidden in heaven. And so he's given us the keys to forbid this to happen on earth. In fact, Jesus was beaten to the point that he was beyond recognition so that we could have this key. He paid for this key to lock the door to sickness on earth. He paid for it with his own blood, with his own body. They said he was beaten so severely that you couldn't recognize him, so that you could have a key to forbid sickness from operating in your life here on earth. Isaiah 53 verse 5 said, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be," say it with me, "healed." Beaten so we could be whole. Whipped so we could be healed. He purchased a key, not just for your salvation, but also for your health. So many people have no problem believing in salvation. They believe that Jesus died once for all, but there are so many people that have trouble believing that Jesus took the stripes upon his back once for all. Well, how come I deal with sickness? How come I struggle with sickness? How come there's sickness in my life? I don't know. Are you using the key? I'm not saying that's everything. I'm just saying, are you using the key? Some people ask me, well, why do people that believe in Jesus, why do people that love him and serve him get sick? So I don't know all the answers. All I know is that he's given me a key to forbid it from happening in my life. You know what my journey, you know what we've gone through. Have I been sick? Sure I have. But that doesn't mean I have to allow it to continue in my life. You can continue to focus on the sickness, or you can focus on the key that you've been given. It's your choice. I choose to focus on the key. In the beginning, we were created in the image of God. Then God gave us authority to rule over everything on the earth. Did he not? Genesis 1, 27 and 28. We gave away our rightful authority to Lucifer when we agreed with his word over God's word. Genesis chapter 3. When we agreed with Lucifer's word over God's word, we gave the rightful keys that God has given us over to him. Legally, he received the keys. He didn't steal these keys from us. He convinced us to hand these keys over to him. That's what we did. He could not steal them from us. He couldn't do it. He had to legally take them from, or get us to give them to him. And that's what we did. We agreed with his word over God's word. So Satan deceived us into legally giving away our rightful authority. And then Jesus came to legally purchase back and reestablish the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what he did. Isaiah 9 says his ruling authority will grow and there will be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. No limits. When he repurchased, when he purchased these keys back on our behalf, he took the limits off. Y'all probably are not shouting right now, but you will in a minute when I talk about something. When I talk about releasing what's released in heaven. Right now I'm talking about forbidding what's forbidden in heaven, but when I talk about releasing, you're probably going to shout. While Jesus was on earth, he set the example of what the kingdom of heaven should look like and what we should do while we're walking here on this earth. He showed us our legal authority while he was here on this earth. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began to bring to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. How many did he heal? How many sick did they bring to him? All. How many did he heal? All. All. They brought all their sick and he healed them all. You know what he was doing? He was releasing on earth what is released in heaven. I think this is powerful. To me, I think it's powerful. When I read this, I'm just fascinated by this because Jesus hadn't taken the stripes upon his back at this point. Did you know that? He hadn't gone to the cross at this point. He hadn't taken the stripes upon his back. But he was showing us the power that he was about to give us. There are many reasons why he healed them all. One, because he had compassion for them all. One, because he loves them all. But also to show us that we were going to be able to forbid sickness here on earth. Every disease, every sickness, every illness. And don't you find it interesting that there are some sicknesses and diseases that we have more faith for than others? Come on, y'all. Cancer's hitting our society hard, isn't it? It's hitting it hard. We have several in our congregation that are struggling with it. But it is no more powerful than a cold. Come on, y'all. Let your faith rise up. You've been given the key. We have the key. Cancer is no more powerful than a cold. It comes from the same demonic power that a cold comes from. It does. What we need to do is shut the door and lock it. Forbid sickness on earth as it's forbidden in heaven. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 and 30, says, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down, and a vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, and those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. I could go on and show you this in the Word of God. Many more examples, but let's now look at the scriptures and see what this means for us. In Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. How many of you believe? Come on, raise your hand if you're a believer. These miraculous signs will accompany you. It means they go with you. Everywhere you go, these signs go with you. You're locked arm in arm with these signs. They're with you. Why? Because you've been given the key to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages, and they'll be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. Let me just stop right there and say, that doesn't mean that we're going to pull snakes up on the stage and play with them. I did bring a little jar of strychnine here that I'm about to drink in a moment just to show you that the scripture's true. No, I'm not. I mean, do not put the Lord your God to the test, right? I mean, we're not going to do that. That's not what this means. It just means that the enemy can't harm you. Actually, this is types and shadows when he's speaking here. In the beginning, when Satan came into the garden, what did he come as? A snake, a serpent, right? You will be able to handle these demonic powers and they will not harm you. Some people don't use, this is not notes, but I'm going there anyway. Some people fail to use the key, or they don't use the key because they're afraid of what might happen if they come up against the enemy. Look at somebody, say, greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. If you're afraid, you need to remind yourself of the power that you possess, the power that is inside of you, the power that raised Christ from the dead. Don't be afraid of the enemy. You can handle him, and he cannot harm you. And then look at the last of that scripture. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. They will. Not they might, not if you beg hard enough, not if you plead hard enough, not if you get in the altar and sweat it out for a few hours. Right. You will lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. In other words, you will shut the door and lock it and forbid sickness from operating on the earth. You forbid it. Whatever's forbidden in heaven, you can forbid on earth. Just a few more. Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as they went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem bringing their sick, and they're possessed by evil spirits, and they were, say it, all healed. Jesus had already ascended to the Father. Are you hearing me? Jesus had already left the earth and ascended to the Father. He was back in heaven. And the promise that he made, that I will give you the keys to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, the apostles, the disciples, they were carrying that around. They were using their key freely. They brought the sick to him. That's not permitted here on earth. That's forbidden on earth. There you go. Lock that door. Acts 28 says his father lay sick in bed, suffering from fits and of high fever and dysentery. And so Paul went into the room, and after praying, he placed his hands on him. He was instantly healed. When the people of this island heard about this miracle, they brought, say it, all the sick to Paul, and they were also healed. How many were healed?
All.
All. All. Over and over and over again, we see it in the Word of God. Could it be that we don't see all people being healed today because we're not using the key? I know I kind of go over the top and I'm very passionate, but that's just who I am. I'm not going to be anything different. I know this is how God created me, and I've learned that this is a good thing. This is okay. And I get fired up when I read the Word of God and I read these things happening in the Word of God, and because I know that this is what he intended for all mankind, yes, for all generations. This is not something that he only meant for the apostles. Some people believe that. Some people believe that this word, these promises were only meant for the early church, and now they're not meant for us, but his promises were meant for every generation, every tribe, every language, every race, every people. It's meant for you. It's meant for me. It should be happening in our churches. It should be happening in the streets. It should be happening everywhere we go, because this power accompanies us everywhere we go. These signs and miracles follow along with us. Everywhere we go, we should leave awake of his presence and awake of his power and awake of his anointing. If we believe this and if we operate and we use the keys that God has given us, there'll be many times we don't even have to say anything to anyone. There'll be times that we just walk by people and they're healed. Why do I believe that? Because I see it in the Word of God. I see Peter walking by and just his shadow cast on them, healed them. Because that much power is in him. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, Jesus was manifested in the flesh to destroy the power of the devil. 1 John 3:8. What does that mean? It means this. He is God's example to show us that what God did for and in Jesus, he can do for and in us. This is powerful. Does anybody know about Smith Wigglesworth? He's not famous for just having a funny last name. I bet you he got picked on in elementary school. You thought you got picked on. He's known because of his faith. He didn't just say good things that are quotable today. He's known because of his faith. They don't even know how many people that were raised from the dead in his ministry while he walked on the earth. And we can be known for the same thing. God has given you the same keys he gave Smith Wigglesworth. Amen. According to the word of God, you can permit sickness to roam freely in the world around you, or you can forbid it. It's your choice. What do you choose? I choose to forbid it. And listen to me for a moment. I love healthcare providers. We need them. I love them. We have several of them in our congregation. If you're a healthcare provider, raise your hand. If you work in the health field, raise your hand. Several of them. Doctors, nurses. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. And we need them. But I'm going to tell you something. If we would start using the keys that God gave us, we would need a lot less of them. We could just hang out with them and they'd be our friends, and we wouldn't need to go see them and make appointments with them all the time. So this is the question before we move on to one of the things that we can release on earth. Do you want to be healthy and whole in your future? Do you want your future to be full of health and wholeness for your family? Then use the keys that God has given us. Forbid sickness. Lock the door. Remember that song, Lock the Door, Keep Out the Devil? We can do that. We have the power. So that's one of the things that's forbidden in heaven. What are some of the things that are released in heaven that we can release on earth? Well, there are many things released in heaven that we have the power to release on earth. Love, joy, peace, wealth, freedom, goodness, gentleness, abundant life, and many, many more things that are released in heaven. And we have the power to release these things on earth. In other words, we have the power to unlock the doors and allow these things to roam freely here on earth. I don't know about you, but I believe that we need more love to roam freely here on the earth. How about you? Unconditional love. The real love. But that's not what I want to talk about today. The one thing I want to talk about releasing here on earth is abundance. Abundance. We've been given the key to unlock abundance, the abundance of heaven in our lives. Do you want abundance in your future? How many of you want abundance in your future? I do. I need some abundance. Well, what's abundance? Well, it can be a lot of things. That's why I didn't say wealth, because I don't want to just talk about money or wealth. I want to talk about the abundance. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. He said, I came to give you everything in abundance. Not just some things, everything in abundance. I want you to have a full life, an abundant life, overflowing with my presence, overflowing with my goodness, overflowing with my power. But there's a key that unlocks the door to abundance. Did you know that? Just like there's a key that locks the door to forbid sickness on the earth, there's a key that unlocks the door to abundance. Many people are not experiencing abundance in their life because they're not using the key. I'm going to show this key to you in the scriptures, but I'm going to give you the first scripture. It spells it out clearly. It's Proverbs 18:16. 18:16 says, giving a gift opens what? Doors. Sounds like a key to me, doesn't it to you? Giving a gift opens doors. It gives access to important people. The key to opening doors is giving. If you want to open the doors to abundance in your life, give. I know some of you didn't want to hear that key. Pastor Bill, you sure there's not another key on that ring that looks just like that one that doesn't involve giving? Surely there's another. These all look the same, but they open different doors. There's only one key to open the door to abundance. I'm telling you, there's only one key. The Word of God spells it out clearly. I'm going to show it to you in more scripture, but it's giving. Amen. Let's look at it, another scripture, Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8, should people cheat God? Let's just stop there. Let's answer that question. How many of you think people should cheat God? Anybody? Nobody. How many believe we should not cheat God? Yep, I do too. Nobody would say, yeah, we should cheat God in church, would they? They would never say it. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? God said, you have cheated me in tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all, bring how much? All the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. That's the house of God. So that there will be enough food in the house of God. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room to take it in. In other words, overflowing. Overflowing. He said, I'm going to, if you will just do this, I will open the windows of heaven, the gates of heaven, and pour out blessings that will be overflowing. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease, and your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, and your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Again, giving is the key to abundance. God's saying, the windows of heaven aren't open, and I'm not pouring out blessings that you cannot contain, overflowing blessings, abundant blessings, because you haven't used the key. And before you say, well, this is Old Testament, and Jesus didn't talk about tithing. No, that's not true. He did talk about tithing. Jesus did talk about tithing. Matthew chapter 23, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said to the Pharisees, you should tithe. He said, you tithe from the smallest of your herbs in your garden. He said, good, you should tithe. That's what he told them. Look it up. So Jesus did talk about tithing. In fact, he said, you should tithe. He's not going to go against his father. He's not going to go against his father's word. Giving is the key. Well, and if you don't think so, let's just look at Luke chapter 6, verses 38. Let's see what Jesus said there. In Luke 6, 38, Jesus said, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will be poured upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Jesus said, use the key, unlock the door, and release the abundance of heaven. Amen. Pastor, why am I not being blessed? Why am I not seeing the blessings that are promised in the Word of God? Have you used the key? Jesus did not say in Luke 6:38, he did not say, just sit there and wait and abundant gifts will be poured into your lap. There's nowhere in the Word of God you can find that. Nowhere. He did not say that. He said, give. Give. Come on, look at somebody and say, there's a key. There's a key to abundance. It's giving. Give generous gifts, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Give, and the windows of heaven will be opened up, and there will be so much blessing pouring out on you, you can't even contain it. Abundant blessings will be poured out into your lap. You'll have to give it away. You'll have so much, you have to give it away. That's the reason God wants to bless you, because he can trust you that you continue to give it away. It's not just for your benefit. It's not just so you can become wealthy and sit on it. It's okay to have wealth. God wants you to be wealthy. Oh, here we go. Oh, I knew this church was going in that direction. I knew it. He was quiet about money for 6 years, and all of a sudden, now he's going to go in that direction. I knew it. Here he goes. But I knew I could wait him out if I just waited long enough. You have the key to release the abundance of heaven in your future. But if you refuse to give, you will not unlock the door to abundance. In fact, by refusing to give, not only you are not unlocking the door to abundance, you are permitting the enemy to rob you of what legally belongs to you. Did you hear me? Just like in the beginning, we legally gave the keys back to the enemy that we had been given. We legally gave him these keys back because we agreed with his word over God's word. The same thing can happen today. If you allow the fear of the enemy to convince you that God won't bless you when you give. God promised you. I just read it to you in Malachi. He promised you, just try me. Put it to the test. Just use the key. Take the keys I've been giving you. Pull them out of your pocket. Stick it in the door. Unlock the door and release the abundance of heaven. He promised you it would happen. But if you believe the fear of the enemy, those lies of the enemy, oh, God won't do that for you. God won't bless you. God won't pour out abundance upon you. Oh, come on. That's not true. If you believe that over the word of God, then you're just giving the keys back to the enemy. And you're allowing him to have control. You're allowing him to lock and unlock doors that he desires to lock and unlock in your life. You're allowing him to open up doors that will destroy you. And what's worse in the church, what's worse is that there are many out there in the church who rail against the promise of abundance that God has promised us in his word. Just like that comment I said just a moment ago, God wants you to be wealthy. Oh, I'm sure there might be people watching online. I'll get an email or something about that. And that's why I said what I did, because there's so many people out there that have been bought into the lies of the enemy and they rail against the promises of God. And they say things like, oh, come on, don't start that stuff. That's the prosperity gospel, and that's of the devil. All this name it and claim it stuff is not God's plan. God doesn't want us to be wealthy because money is evil. They'll say stuff like that. They'll say stuff like that. And here's what I have to say to people that say stuff like that. First of all, I didn't have to name it. He already did. He's the one who said abundant crops and abundant gifts. He's the one who said you won't have a room enough to take it in. He's the one who said overflowing measure. He's the one who said all nations will call you blessed. He's the one that said you don't have to live in sickness. He's the one who said you don't have to live in fear. He's the one who said you have power and authority to take power over the enemy and forbid anything that's forbidden in heaven from being here on this earth. He's the one who said you have the authority and power to release the abundance of heaven on earth. So I'm not naming it. He already named it, but I sure am going to claim what he named. I'm going to claim his promises. You can claim whatever promises you want. You can claim whatever lies you want, but I'm going to claim the promises of God. Put it to you this way, I'm just using the keys he gave me. If somebody says that to you, if you testify to somebody about the goodness of God and how he's poured it out in your life and how giving is the key, because giving is the key. How many believe that now? How many believe giving is the key? It's the key to abundance. Give and it shall be given. It's the key. If somebody comes to you and you're testifying about that and they say all that name it, claim it stuff, say, I'm not naming it and claiming it. I'm just using the key that he gave me. He named it. I'm claiming it. And also, I read in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Again, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of the religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Stay shut. You won't go in yourselves. and you don't let others in who want to enter. It's interesting when we start talking about money and finances and abundance in church, we start talking about the key to those things being giving. It's interesting how many people start to dig up, or the enemy starts to dig up in their life, the lies that he's spread over the years in church. And all of a sudden, those people become not only the people who don't believe in what God promised he would release if we use the key, but they also become the people that stand in front of the door and don't want others to enter either. Oh, no, no, you don't want to go in there. You don't want to open that door. You don't want to open that. No, it's not true. There's not a bunch of stuff. You don't want to do that. Why would you do that? That's not true. No, don't do that. You just walk away from this door. This door is not for you. Come on, what are you doing? What are you doing believing that stuff? Why are you believing that way? Why are you talking like that? Come on, all this name it, claim it stuff. What are you doing? Just walk on by. You don't need to open that door. And they'll stand in front of the door and slam the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. They're not going to go in. They sure don't want you to go in. And what you need to do is just kindly say, step aside. Because I've been given a key. And nobody's going to stop me from using this key. And I'm going to stick it in the door and unlock it and release the abundance of heaven in my life. It's really easy. All you have to do is give. Well, you just want the tithe to go up. No, I don't. I don't really care. Listen, here's what I'm saying. I know God's going to take care of us. I know God's going to take care of us. I don't care about the tithe going up. I care about you experiencing the abundance of heaven in your life. We're good. God's taking care of us, but you should tithe. You should tithe. You should give. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Don't cheat God. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. He gave you a key to release the abundance of heaven. Stick it in the door. Open the door and release the abundance God promised you. Give. Give. Look at somebody. Say, you need to give. This is better. Look at somebody. Say, I need to give. That's better, isn't it? Sorry about that. You need to give, and you need to give, and you need to give, and you... Just kidding. James Cash Penny, otherwise known as J.C. Penny, said this. He said, I have found that unselfishness pays because it tends to engender unselfishness. Do you know by the end of his life, J.C. Penny, James Cash Penny, by the end of his life, he was tithing 90% of his income and living on 10%? That's what we should be striving for. How many of you believe that his 10% that he was living on is greater than our 90% right now? How many believe that? I know it is mine. I don't know about your bank account, but I know it is mine. This is what God wants to do in all of our lives, every one of us. He promised this for all, not for some, for all. For all. This key to abundance is not just for certain people, it's for every one of us sitting here today. Every one of us watching live today, it's for all of us. Every person on this planet, you have been given, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given the key to abundance. Give. Give and it shall be given to you. So the question for this is, do you want abundance in your future? How many of you want abundance in your future? Then use the key you've been given. Unlock the door to abundance. Give. Give joyously. Give exuberantly. Give generously. Give and God will pour it back into your lap. Amen.